Well, grace and peace to each of you as we gather this morning. Many of you have passed by the art exhibit wall downstairs outside the main office and have wondered what these pieces were until I put some explanation there. And now the artist is among us, and she will walk us into her art. It's great to welcome Catherine Fenton, who is a 2005 Eastern Mennonite Seminary grad in Masters of Art in Religion with a concentration in art. And in the past, she has had three exhibits. I'm going to go down through them. First one was in the spring of 2013 as she was beginning to search and explore God through art. She had several abstract pieces as she began to explore this understanding of faith and art and how they connect. And these art pieces were evoked by various songs and hymns, her own introspection of what it means to be in the Christian faith and relationships. In spring of 2014, she brought to us an exhibit called In the Garb. This was how Christianity has been used to cover up hate in American history. She was looking at topics like slavery, racism, sexism, feminism, and homosexuality. In fall of 2014, she brought to us one she called Sacred Ground. And this was what emerged out of her journey in Lithuania, the land of Mary, and how her intent was to create a holy space for us as we moved up and down the seminary, or for those who stopped there to pray and to meditate in the holy spaces that she experienced, and she was drawing them in for us here at the seminary. Today, she is inviting us to pay attention to icons for the Mennonite Church. The past several years, she had thought to bring together in art Mennonite Church theology and to aid the church into being further understanding in our relationship of God through worship and education. So at the end of her culmination of her theological training here at EMS, she created a series of these icons, which she will share with us today. So welcome, Catherine. Appreciate you being here. And we will have a time to actually just sit with these in a Visio Divina way. And I'll explain Visio Divina to some who might be unfamiliar when we move to that part of our worship. So pray with me. I invite you to pray with me by joining me in this prayer, as it is in the bulletin. Open our ears to hear your voice around us, eyes to see the color and texture of life, minds to think thoughts after you, hearts to respond.
Good morning. I wanted to talk to you a little bit about my thesis project this morning, which is what this body of work is. It was the culminating project of my education here at the seminary, and it's kind of helped me figure out what I want to do as an artist in the church, so it's very near and dear to my heart. So I want to just talk about a couple things this morning. First, I want to talk about the relationship of art and the Mennonite Church throughout history, just a brief overview. Then I want to talk about what the church is doing now with art. And then I'll talk about these specific icons back here, and then there are three more down in the hallway that I wasn't able to bring up. So talking about art in the Mennonite Church, to give a little bit of background as an artist, I always felt a little bit like an outsider. And I think it's a fairly common feeling among Mennonites who are trying to do art and figure out how to bring those two together. And my hope with this thesis is to kind of bring attention to the gifts that artists can offer the church and figure out how we can work together. So. And while working on this project, and some other projects for school, I did some research into art and the history of the Mennonite Church, expecting not to find much. But what I found was that we actually do have a history of art in the Mennonite Church. We just usually don't acknowledge it. And sometimes we have to dig a little deeper to find it. And so one of the earliest records that I found of Mennonites creating and incorporating art into the daily lives were with the Dutch Mennonites. So in the Dutch Golden Age, there were a lot of things that were happening and a lot of opportunities were given to them. And so the Mennonites who became wealthy and affluent had more influence, and they changed kind of the shape of the churches, comparing to other churches in other parts of the world. And so they became leaders in printing industry, and also some of them were actually artists. And they often used those skills to help impact the community in a positive way, a lot of times to raise money and help other Mennonites. And then we also have Rembrandt, a very famous artist who did a series of paintings of Mennonite pastors and their wives, which was shocking to me and awesome, because I knew that name from art history. So we have a little bit of fame there. Then we also have the most extensive body of work representing Mennonites and their daily lives and their history in the 104 copper engravings in the Martyr's Mirror that many of us are familiar with, done by artist Jan Lucan. So that was interesting to see the prolific work that somebody had done and was then used to put a book together, package, sell it, and then help Mennonites in other countries. And so then when you see Mennonites migrate to North America, jumping a large span of time here, they also brought it a strong tradition of visual arts. But it kind of presented itself in kind of craft and decorative form. So if we broaden the definition of art that some of us have, what we find are fracture, quilting, furniture making, ceramics, and all those different forms that some of them are very practical, but you see this flourish of beauty coming through that is definitely not practical. So a little bit about fracture. It's a folk art, and it's been used by the Hutterites, Pennsylvania German, and Presso-German Mennonites. They use it to illuminate manuscripts, and so scripture verses, songbooks, baptismal, marriage, and death certificates. These are beautiful pieces of art that are used just to commemorate an event. But it was also used to teach young children penmanship, which was very interesting. And then some of the people who were doing fracture did it just to do art. There was no other practical reason to do it. And there's still some pieces that exist today that we can look at. They're very beautiful. And so one of the things about fracture that you still see this kind of almost iconoclastic movement going through is that none of it can be representational. So fracture is very abstract and non-representational. But a lot of the themes, the images are specifically meant to speak to a certain part of our faith or life. And then if we look at quilt making, this is something that we all are very familiar with. And they started being considered an art in apparently the 1970s, and many people still get together and sew these quilts, and they're beautiful. They're often used at relief sales to raise money, but many adorn our homes, and they're absolutely beautiful. And they were used specifically in, I think World War II, to raise money for different causes. And if we then look at furniture that's built, Amish and Mennonite furniture is beautiful, but not just for the craftsmanship. If you look at a lot of pieces that are in different museums, you can see the fracture design coming in as well, which is interesting that it just kind of permeated everything. So they're well-done pieces, but they're beautiful. And we also see ceramics from the Hutterites, which they did beautiful pieces, and some of them you would use practically, but some of them have lace patterns, which you could never eat on. And so they're clearly just there for an artistic purpose. So that's a little bit about the history. Today, in the 20th and 21st centuries, we have seen an increased interest in art, not just in crafts, but in bringing galleries and Mennonite artists coming together and putting shows together at different universities. But the sad thing about this is that a lot of these artists have still turned away from the church in order to create this art. There seems to be. You can do one or the other because there's pressure that still exists in the church. There's one Mennonite artist, Kara Hartzler, that laments, "We tend to appreciate the arts in retrospect, not remembering that a subtle hostility in our culture may right now be preventing the emergence of a future Mennonite artist," which is sad, and sometimes it can be very true. Some of the artists try to pursue their art despite the Mennonite background and have to leave the church in order to do one instead of the other. Some let the art fade into the background, and these are what I tend to consider closet artists, which I'm trying to bring out. And just a little bit about my own experience growing up. My desire to study art always felt very frivolous as a young kid. I always knew that this dream to follow it meant that I might be an outsider in the church and that I would obviously have no career opportunities. And most of my family, as I watched them grow up, went to go into careers that served people, so nursing, pastoring, and teaching, which seemed to be some of the only options. And art, in comparison, felt very selfish because it's what I wanted to do, it's what I wanted to create. I was lucky enough to have parents that supported me in pursuing the arts in college. And even though I had the support from my parents, I was always aware of that subtle hostility in the church. There were no images in the church, in the one that I grew up in. The walls were bare, there was no color. I don't think we had worship arts in the church at that time either. And I was just aware that I was very different than a lot of people. I recognized the stained glass every morning, and people were like, "What? What is that supposed to be?" And so I'd tell them what it was. I don't think many people knew. And then through comments and conversations that I would have with people, I realized that the opinion of artists wasn't that great. They were thought to be too flamboyant, and once somebody linked it to witchcraft. So it wasn't really going in the right direction. Thankfully, I've seen this attitude shift in the Mennonite church as I've gotten older and gotten more into the artistic circles and kind of tried to bring it out a little bit. The church has been very open to the relationship between art and theology, and we're trying to bring that back in, which is wonderful to see. And part of it that I see changing this are institutions like EMU, who are just very open, definitely allowing me to do this as a seminary project. And what we're doing are we're trying to teach younger generations the value of art in the church. And it's very exciting. We have a little bit more to do, but I think we're getting there. So with these icons here, I've tried to bring together the relationship between art and theology, but do it specifically for the Mennonite church, because I've done a lot of research on icons in the Orthodox Church and what the Catholic Church does to bring in images, which is beautiful. I've always kind of envied that just welcomeness, and it's always there. The walls are covered, especially in an Orthodox church. They literally paint the walls with their history and their theology. And to me, it is a sacred space. And so with these, what I wanted to do is bring a little bit of that idea into the Mennonite church, knowing that some places wouldn't always be that welcome to art and theology. And the idea of an icon is very foreign. Usually the understanding is that you pray to it, you kiss it. And in centuries and centuries ago, you used to scrape paint off and that into the Eucharistic elements to make it holy. So there's not exactly a view of icons that you can always bring in. You have to fight a little bit. But I wanted to take the Mennonite theology and do it in a way that we can understand while honoring our past. So to honor the fracture idea, I wanted to keep it abstract and not be it representational. That's also the way I work. So it melded together pretty well. And so I've taken the four Mennonite confessions, Schleitheim, Dortrecht, Mennonite Confession of Faith in 1963, and in 1995, and gone through these and tried to pick out what was reoccurring and really kind of centered these pieces together. So the seven that I've come up with: the Trinity, the two natures of Christ, Scripture, salvation, the sacraments, discipleship, and nonviolence. And I do believe these are the foundation of Mennonite and Christian theology. I can't remove one of these and still stand firm on that foundation. But there are many more that can be made. So these specific ones here, I have the Trinity right here. And so you have the three elements, the color, the white, and the gold, but I added a mirror because when I was working on the piece, I realized I kept trying to find out where I fit in, and I realized I'm in the midst of it. The real beauty of the Trinity is that it brings God to us, and so I wanted to make sure that we saw us slightly fractured in the midst of the Trinity, and so then that kind of kept me following the colors, as well as the history of colors used in icons and paintings in the Orthodox Mennonite Church. So I stayed with white as the purified, resurrected Christ, and gold as the Holy Spirit, or God, the Father. And then we have blue, which kind of goes back and forth between holy, and I use it in scripture in one of my pieces. And then red is the body and blood of Christ, which is us. And so the next piece I have is scripture, which I wanted to kind of figure out how Mennonites tend to interpret scripture, because I know it can differ between denominations. So we start off with reading the Word of God, and then the Holy Spirit helps us interpret this. And then we talk amongst each other as a body of Christ. And then we always compare it to the life and teachings of Jesus. But it doesn't stop there. It's never stagnant. Interpretation of Scripture is always moving. And so you go through this process again and again and again. And then the piece over here is sacraments, which I debated on whether to call it sacraments or ordinances. But I decided to stick with sacraments because it has a richer meaning to me, and that links it a little bit to the icons and the Catholic and Orthodox Church. So the sacraments for the Mennonite Church are obviously very different than what the Catholic Church would say. So we have foot washing, the Eucharist, and so I wanted these elements to come together. So we have the cleansing water and the fire and the blood all coming together. And then the white in the middle, it's all coming and purifying us. And then we have nonviolence, which is very important to the Mennonite Church. But I wanted to do it in a violent way to remind us that we are in a violent culture, but that blood isn't always about violence. Blood is often It's the thing that links us all together, and it's been shed for us, and we are all one. So the same blood that can be shed in violence can be shed to bring us together and to heal. And then you have God breaking through. So those are the four pieces. I think Visio Divina, you're welcome to come up and look and just kind of walk through it. So, thanks.
Thank you, Catherine. We're going to spend some time for you to reflect on the four that she has brought before us. For those of you who are not aware of Visio Divina, we do know, as we are much aware of, the Holy Spirit speaks many languages. And certainly art is one of the languages the Spirit speaks. So Visio Divina is like Lectio Divina, which has its roots in spiritual practice of literally divine reading. So it's going to be a visual reading of God's grace within our lives as we allow ourselves to move into and be read by the icons that are here present among us. So the invitation will be to come or to be where you are and just in the space of quiet together for several moments or two, reflect on what you see in these icons of the Mennonite faith. And then we'll gather together, I'll call you back together, and we'll share a moment on what we have seen, what has been evoked within us, and then we'll bring our worship to some closure. So the time is yours now to be engaged, to read the writing that is before us.